testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
Well, our teaching today is our faith is to persevere. Our faith is to persevere. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I want to cite from Revelation 3. As we know, all of these messages to the seven churches are to help to encourage them. But also, we know that there are admonitions, warnings. And we know that the church that is commendable in God's sight, of course, is the Philadelphia church. And that church has an open door that no man can shut. And it's interesting that I was reading a little bit about Philadelphia, the history of Philadelphia. And there are a few interesting things about it. Most of all the churches that were there at that time don't exist. But that one does, and it still has a church there, and it still has a pastor. And the idea of that open door, well, of course, we know the spiritual meaning of that, which is the deeper life, to go deeper with God. But that open door at that time, when it was where it was in Turkey, was a means of travelling, of passing through, and it was also a doorway in which they were teaching the people who, obviously, a lot of them couldn't read or write, they couldn't even speak properly and everything, and it was the centre of where Greek was being taught for the future, because, you know, many of them, as I say, they sadly were ignorant, couldn't read or write, or couldn't even talk properly. So it was like a cultural centre to teach them their language, to be able to speak Greek then at that time. So a lot of interesting analogies that come out, you know, when you study the history of these seven churches, what they were then at that time, and the places today. Some of them have changed now. They're not called what they were originally. But I was quite interested in that. And of course it says here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, which we'll just remind ourselves here in this. Because you have kept my command to persevere, or it means endure, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, this church was commended for its faithfulness because it was true to its message. It kept with evangelizing. It didn't change the word. It didn't alter. They were faithful. And we note also that there were very few. There was nothing as a church to talk about, just a handful. But boy, what they had, they were faithful. And he says here, he encourages, the same as he does to us today, persevere, keep with it, because what God is saying is, I know, I understand. And it looks ridiculous in the natural. But he's saying, stay with it. Why is there such an emphasis on this? Because the other side of the coin to the Philadelphia church is the Laodicean church. And we all know about that, because that is probably most what we see today. They think they're rich, they're strong, they're liberal, they're with it, they're walking with God and so forth. But we know this, what God says, I counsel you to buy eyesight. You're blind, you're not seeing. See, that's the tragedy. So there's the other side of the coin. And they really are, in many ways, are the two churches that we have today. I'm not talking about denominationalism, that's religion. You know, I'm talking about those who've actually come out, who've separated themselves from that bondage and everything. But we know that when we come out, which it tells us to do, we can still be a target. We can still be attacked. You can still walk this narrow walk, or you can go the broad way into liberalism, which of course is what the Laodicean church is doing. And of course that's why we have so much today. And a lot of that, of course, a lot of wrong teaching and heresy comes out of all of that. But with the Philadelphian, he's telling us to be faithful. And it comes back to our faith, doesn't it? You know, our faith teaching is not just for healing, for blessing. It's all that. But I'm seeing more and more, as we're coming to the closing days, we need that faith to stay and be positive and to be faithful. I'm also seeing my faith needs that. Because it's so easy now to sort of question it. It's so easy, you know, to say, well, we've heard it so many times, you know, the Lord's coming and so on. And it is easy to think like that. But God does speak to us because he shows us the parable of the 10 virgins. And the reason, and that parable tells us that they go fall to sleep. Why do they fall to sleep? Because the bridegroom tarries. So it shouldn't come as a surprise. Because some are saying now, it's now 50 years. And what did Jesus say? This generation shall not pass till you see my come. Well, what is a generation? It's 30, 40 at a push. So here we are, we've got another 10 years. But, you know, that doesn't actually take me by surprise, because we learn these parables. See, praise God, he's giving us a whole council of teaching. And we think immediately on there. Yeah, he tarried. They went into a sleeping slumber. Yeah. But when the call went out, there was the difference between the five wise and the five foolish, you see. And so in many ways we can identify with that as the Spirit is speaking to us. I know there are some at the moment don't fellowship with us because of that very thing. Well, it's 50 years now. Where is it? You know, what's going on? And you've been saying, you know, the Lord's coming, this generation will not pass till you come. Well, okay, I'm just going to have to stay with the word of God. But I see what the parable of the ten virgins tell me. So it isn't a surprise. And then I look at it and I think, thank you, Lord. You're actually delaying. There's a reason for it. And you're delaying so that we can get it right. So that we're ready when you come. Because I can look back over the last 10 years and I thank the Lord he didn't come when I was falling short of the standard of this walk. When I should have been doing what I was doing and wasn't doing it, or whatever it is. It's not rocket science, this. And I think, thank you, Lord. You could have come right at that point and I would have missed it. You know? You know, these are the realities. These are the things that the Spirit will show you. So, you know, our Heavenly Father is very merciful. He's very long-suffering. And he's making sure that as a body, as a unity, we're all going to be at that place. Now, we know it's not going to be sinless perfection. But it's a perfection of loyalty. It's a perfection that you're not looking elsewhere. You know, you're hearing, your eyes are fixed on Jesus. And you're walking this walk, no matter who goes with you. You know, that's what it is. That's what he's looking for. Perfect? Not always, no. Am I perfect? No, I'm not always. You know, I know sometimes when I'm driving, and I know when somebody cuts me short, or whatever it is. I know what can rise up in me, you know. Who's up? What do you think he is? You know, like that. Up it come. Sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me. And he's so quick. This is the whole point. And you think, where did that come from? God knows. God knows. And that's why I want to talk about it today, about persevering, you see. Now, this perseverance means more than just enduring. It's more than simply holding on to the end. Because that's a lot how people preach it. Well, just hold on to the end. Fine, okay, yeah. Hold on, you know, hold on to the horns of the altar. But God never leaves us like that. You see, we get the idea that we're in the hands of our Heavenly Father who's moulding us, perfecting us. We're in his hands. The idea of enduring, persevering, is also that he is the potter, we're the clay, and he's moulding us. We have to hold on to that. It's like, I've said this before, it's like an archer who pulls back the string, the cord, and aiming. And he pulls back and pulls back. And if you ever watch them, they pull it back as far as it will go. You think the whole thing's going to snap, you know? But they need that power for that bow and the arrow to go to get the target. You know, and it's like, this is what God is doing with us. He's stretching us and stretching us until no more. There's nothing left until the purpose, his aim, is in sight. And I am convinced that the rapture, which is the next great event for us, it's like we're being prepared. It's what we're looking for. It's what we're waiting for. We have been given a promise. We are not going through the great tribulation. That is the promise that's given there to it, as well as other promises. And it's like he's stretching and stretching and stretching us to we're almost at breaking point for his purpose, for the goal, so that we are there ready when that trumpet calls and he says, come up. And we are translated in the twinkling of an eye, and we meet the Lord in the air. I am convinced that's what's happening to us. We don't always fully understand it, but you know, I was quickened by this, that this is what he's doing. It's for his purpose. It's for his glory. And when we're ready, he's going to let go, and that's it. We're called away. And I come back to the imagery of the man-child, Revelation 12. And where is the dragon? Right there. He's not elsewhere trying to abort any others. He's there trying to destroy this work that God is working on. And we know it in our own lives. We know the attacks. We know the subtleties. We know at times how he can come like an angel of light and so on. But God has got a goal. Make no bones about it. And that's why we're in need of perseverance right now. Let God's hand deal with it. You see, we so often want to meddle or be in control. But I don't know about you, I'm finding things in my life, I can't control it anymore. Not that I want to, but it's not controllable. Nothing is controllable now. This new age, this new world that we're moving into, and all this COVID and this plague, I call it, and everything, things are starting to get out of control. They're trying to control us. Governments trying to control it, you know, and everything. But they can't. They can't. You know, they're all sort of now... They're all looking to this new vaccine the Russians have brought out now. And they want to start to vaccinate them and everything. And what was it? How many? About 70 were in the trial or something. Yeah. And then, you know, the interviewer's saying, well, do you think this is a possibility? Do you think this is it and everything? And I'm praying. I've said, Lord, I come against the lie behind this. Mm-hmm. I do this sometimes when the radio's on. Yeah. And then the interviewer said, he said, this is going to take years. Yeah. Of course it is, yeah. You know. But you hear this all coming out all the time because we know there's a bigger agenda behind it all. Everything they're doing now, trying to condition us all with this lockdown, is a bigger agenda that's all behind it and so forth. And so, but what we're seeing is now that these are things can't be controlled anymore. And the reason being is because the brakes are released. Yeah. It's now getting faster and faster as it's going downhill. It's gaining speed. And that's what's happening. Everything now is beginning to move at a quicker pace. Mm-hmm. And what will happen is that the world, society, people, governments won't be able to handle it. And so what happens? You begin to see the stress levels gaining more, mental problems, all of that's the big issue now. They're really concerned about lockdown, what it's doing mentally to people. It's a huge issue, and it is affecting. You know, I started my classes again recently. And some of the students, they said, oh, you've no idea to get back to this, you know, just to do something different. And several of them said, you know, this is mentally affecting me. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear it from my students. And I thought, yep, this is what's happening. It's all now starting to get out of control. Mm-hmm. But you see, the Lord is in control. Amen. And the wonderful thing about it is he's in complete control with our lives. Mm-hmm. And FGA can't speak for others, mm-hmm. but he is for us. And everything we need to know, anything, he brings it to us, mm-hmm. so that we can get in prayer, that we are not blinded, we are ignorant. He is showing us step by step all that we need to know. Mm-hmm. And whatever comes our way, if it's not of the Lord, then you dismiss it, you get rid of it. And that's where the discernment of the body comes in. This is why I am such a believer that God does nothing outside the body. He does it with us, the believers. That is where the Spirit speaks. That is where he prepares us. It's clearly seen in the seven churches. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. He spoke to the body, you see. And we've got some who think they can do it on their own and do their own thing. You'll only partially hear. You will not fully hear. And here's the difference. Because God has set us the gifts in the body so that the Spirit can speak to us. That's what it's about. It's not rocket science, this, you see. And praise God for that. So that we can exhort, we can encourage, we can help one another. Because it's not easy at times. You know, these trials are really real. So let God's hand deal with all of this. And that's why he's telling us just to let go and to trust him and not to meddle in any of this. So one of the main areas then in perseverance is to maintain our walk and our commitment before him. Whatever happens, whatever the trials, whatever the tests, an overcomer will maintain and be committed to that walk. You settle it. How do you know you settle it? Because it's you put your hand to that plough years back. That's what it's about. And so the reason we continue to come, we fellowship, we meet, is because we put our hands to that plough, we're looking forward, and we just go up and down that field, just ploughing what he tells us to do with those straight lines, those straight furrows. That's the perseverance, you see. It's a perseverance of faith. And so every day our faith is tried, is tested, and rightly so, because our faith needs those trials. In our flesh, we don't want them. No, not today. You know, not a trial today. I've just come out of one, not another one, you know. And then when you stop and you think, no, I may not want this. My flesh doesn't want this, but my faith needs this. And I don't understand, but all I know is my faith needs this trial. Because when I come out of this trial, I'm going to be in a stronger place of faith. And I say that to myself sometimes because it's hard. Of course it's hard. It's not easy. But you know, that is why we have the word. And that's why I always say that whatever we go through, there's always a bigger picture to it. It's much bigger than how you're feeling or you're hurting at the time, or whatever it would be. But God shows it is a much, much bigger picture that will come out of this. And that's so often why our faith needs these trials, you see. And that's why, of course, Job said in Job 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In other words, really, what Job, you know, he's at the pinnacle, if you like, of his absolute trial. There's nobody go through trial what Job went through. I mean, he lost a lot. Everything. The only thing he didn't lose was his life. And he wanted to even lose his life. He didn't feel, well, what's the point of living? Even my life's not worth it. You know? This isn't living. This isn't being alive. And even his wife, you know, said, curse God and die. Basically, well, she was of no use, help to him. You know, and then Job's comforters come along and, oh, they mean well. You know, I mean, we've had them, haven't we? Bless them. They mean well. But in the end, you find you're ministering to them instead of their ministering to you, you know. And praise God. But he had came to a point, whether I live, whether I die, whatever, it's unto the Lord. Now that's all that matters. And he brings us to experiences like that. where whatever the situation, whether I live, whether I don't, or whatever it will be, I'm unto the Lord. I'm going to be with him in glory anyway, you know? And the church is going to have to comfort itself with that. You know, when we get news, and sadly we've had news, you know, further deaths in India of our brothers and sisters out there. We're up to about 54 now. And as I was speaking to our brother Danny yesterday, he said, I've got to go out. I've just had another phone call, another death. And these aren't elderly people. Some of them are children. A lot of them are in their 30s. You know? And what do you say in a situation like that? You know, words can be very cheap, can't they? You need to really think. And I said, you know, Danny, I said, as hard as this is, and I said, I cannot understand fully. I said, I'm not there. He's having to do all these funerals, and then they just take the bodies away, and they're just putting them into the pits. They're not burying them or anything, you know. I've said that I think India will come out the worst eventually in all of this. Brazil's pretty bad or whatever, but I still think India will fare the worst. And it's all leading towards that. But, you know, the reason that there are people, they're dying, whatever, is because they're not in a good physical state. You know, they're not getting the food now that they should have. You know, there's lockdown, so food's become very hard to get, and prices have gone sky high, it's the usual thing, and so on. But I just felt to say, their suffering has ceased. They are not suffering anymore. They are now with their Lord and Saviour in glory, as we're going to be. And I said, as hard as that is, I'm actually pleased for them. Because I cannot imagine what they're going through, what the suffering was, and everything. And probably they came to a point, Lord, take me home. And he answered their prayers. You know, and that is the reality. That is the reality. And of course, we can only say, there go I by the grace of God. And that was Job. That is what Job came to, you see. And these are the realities of this walk, and so on. Though he slay me, yet I trust him. What is he saying there? He's saying, I'm persevering, I'm going to stay right to the end, even if it takes my last breath. Hallelujah. That's why, you see, we must never limit our faith. We mustn't limit our faith just to myself, to me, my wants, or my circumstances. Our faith is infinite. Our faith is about the kingdom of God. It is eternal, you know. When we all first started out in this walk, of course we didn't see it like we're seeing now. We see much, so much more of God than we did 10 years ago. And that's our development. That's this being changed from glory into glory that we talk about. That is how we grow up. We mature into our sonship. But, you know, our faith is looking beyond things now. We're not looking anymore at these mountains. They're still there, some of them. But somehow you're not looking at them anymore. They don't seem to be so important as they were 5 years ago or whatever it is. But yeah, I'm still with trials, but somehow they're not there like they used to be. And the reason being is our faith has got us so looking to Jesus that everything else, in a sense, disappears and will disappear. Again, how does God do that? Well, it's all supernatural. I don't know how you can start to take your eyes away from those mountains, those trials. But he knows, because it's a supernatural work he does in our life, where he gets us looking to him and him only. And then all the rest just, in many ways, melts away. That again helps us to persevere, to stay with it, you see. Because, you know, at times, I even ask myself that question, how am I staying with all of this? Well, what is it that makes me stay with this, you know? I mean, there's a lot of other things I could be doing. I really could. And then you think, no, it's because he's got me looking to him. And so everything else is just so secondary when you just look to him. And it is that simple. And it is that simple because sometimes that's why we miss it. But we still want to know, don't we, at times? We still want to know what's going to happen. We still want to try and understand. And when we try to understand in our mind, in the flesh, that's when we lose it, we miss it. That's when it starts to become striving. Now, when you're a preacher and a teacher, that's something that you have to be taught. You go through experiences when you're a preacher and teacher where you're trying in the flesh to understand. And so you buy all these books, you listen to all these tapes and everything, you know, you get into it. And the Lord uses it. I mean, there was a point where God wanted me to study theology, Hebrew and all of that. That was right. But I never knew when to stop. I just wanted to carry on, you see. And so I was buying all these books and I had to get into them. I've got to study this and study that and everything. And after a few years, I realised I was striving at this. And to be honest, not a lot was going in. I was no longer allowing and believing for the Holy Spirit to teach me. I was in control. I wanted to learn. I wanted to do it. That was the problem. And God had to deal with me. And he did. He did. He clearly showed me, you see. And so a lot of all this stuff that I have, I hardly use it now. I've got a cupboard in there full of theology books. Anyone want any theology books? And very occasionally, I might just think of something, oh, I'll just refresh myself. But most of it, I don't now. I wait on the Lord and he leads me into a book, obviously with the Bible, but he'll lead me into whatever it is. And do you know what? When you do it that way, it's always right. It's always at that time something he wants to teach you or show you. You're ready for it. And that's the key, you see. That is the key to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and I, because he knows when we're ready for that information. The week before or a year before, you were not ready. You thought you were, but you weren't. He's always bang on time. And then you get the fruit of it. Then it quickens your faith. It makes it all of him. And above all, we spiritually understand it. We don't intellectually understand it when we try to do it in our own strength. When the Spirit teaches us, then we fully understand. In other words, it's dropping that 18 inches from the head to the heart. And all ministers in the Word have to go through that experience. I've talked with a few others, you know, been in it for over the years, and it's interesting how, you know, they've gone through similar things as that. But then I think you do as well. We've all done it, you know, where we want to understand, we want to be in control. Again, God doesn't let us. And he's showing us so clearly, we're going to speak and do that which is revealed to us. So God is going to reveal today some things to us that he didn't reveal yesterday, or he didn't reveal last week, And the reason being is because today is the right day for it. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Not yesterday, today. And so whatever he reveals, whatever he brings through you or to speak out, that is for today. Revealed, given by the Father through the Holy Spirit. That is how he's training us. That's how he's doing it with us, you see. Because if we don't do that, this, we're never going to rest by faith in his love. We'll always be striving. And where there is strife, you can never fully experience the love of God. Because your anxieties, your fears and everything are all getting in the way, you see. Love has to experience love, you have to drop everything and you have to be still and you have to drink it in. That is the nature of God's love, you see, and we all need that. We all need that. So you see, he's working where we are completely thrown on him. In other words, we're abandoned to God. There are areas in our lives where that faith is not worked in us yet. As I often say, we're still a work in progress. There's still places that our lives, our hearts need to be touched by God. We're still in that process. There are still some things why we're persevering, why we're staying with it, why he's tarrying. There are still some things he's got to touch in us to experience and see. And he's doing that. He's doing that. I know sometimes that I've got a certain insight. I'm seeing something, but I'm not seeing it clearly. And I know I haven't really been touched as I know God is going to touch me. Sometimes you get that inkling, you get that, just that knowing. There's more to this. I've got to be touched. There's something I've got to experience from God. I haven't quite yet. I'm on the way, but there's still more. There's still more. And sometimes God just lets you experience that sometimes. And I think there's a reason for it. Because sometimes it causes you to reach out and ask for more. Lord, there's more. I want it. I'm open. I want to experience more. I know there's more. And I'm not seeing. I haven't got enough yet. And that's good. That's a healthy appetite. And sometimes God will just partially touch you in areas to create that hunger in you to cry out for more. And he's a master. He knows how to do that in us, you see, to get more out of us. And I think as we're a work in progress, he's doing that in us. That's all part of our developing as we become those overcomers, you know. But there are still areas where Jesus has to touch us in our lives so that we really come to that true unity and oneness and fellowship. And as I bring this to a conclusion, let's look in John 17 verse 3, the famous prayer that Jesus prayed, which is being answered. It's in the process of being answered, John 17 and verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So that is our experience, that we might know him. This is the idea of eternal life. It's a life that can face anything. It's an unwavering faith. And that's why we're being trained and touched in these areas, so that we constantly reach out looking to him. experience his glory, his power, his might, and above all, his love. That's what this is about. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And that's what it is. We're learning about God. Even in this life, we're learning about our Father. And he's touching us in those areas that no one else can touch us in. Doesn't matter how close you are to a person, only God can touch you in that area. Because that is the prayer Jesus prayed. And that prayer that he prayed is being fulfilled in your life and my life right now. Isn't it wonderful? And that's why the Word of God is alive. It's alive today. It's still as powerful as when God spoke it. That's what's so wonderful about the Word of God. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we endure. We stay with it. We persevere because of all these experiences that we're having with the Lord in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're...
up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon